Well, hi there, everybody. This is Pastor AJ from South Granville Church. I hope that you and your family are well and safe. And I want to say thank you for listening to another podcast devotional this week. So if you've been following along, we've been going through a series looking at different habits or practices, things that we can be working on as we kind of work through this strange season. Many of us have more time on our hands or certainly have less activities and obligations than normal. And this is an opportunity for us to explore our relationship with God in ways that we can make that stronger. So what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about the habit of Sabbath. And this is one that might not normally come to mind for some of us, but I think it's a really important one, and this is a great season for us to explore what it looks like to practice the Sabbath in a healthy way. Now, I want to acknowledge that if you grew up in the Reformed tradition, the word Sabbath might almost feel like kind of a dirty word to you. Some of us grew up with very strict rules about what you could and could not do on Sundays. You weren't allowed to mow the lawn. You weren't allowed to go to Meijer. Some of the rules might have even felt very arbitrary, like you couldn't ride your bike, but you could play baseball, or you couldn't be in the front yard, but you could be in the backyard, things like that. And so my observation as an outsider, you know, coming into the Reformed tradition, is that there's been a bit of a backlash or a swinging of the pendulum the other way, where some of us really grew up with very strict rules around the Sabbath. And in response to that, we've kind of swung the other way and decided that Sunday doesn't really need to be all that different. And we end up living the way most other people do, doing the things most other people would do, even if we're going to church on Sundays. And so what I want to do today is I want to talk a little bit about what the Sabbath is and what it isn't, why it's a gift to God's people, and then look at some practical suggestions for what it might look like for you and your family to practice the Sabbath, even in this kind of strange season right now. So let me start with just kind of a basic overview. The Sabbath originates in the Ten Commandments. It's the fourth commandment, although if you read through the Old Testament, it's a commandment that is often referenced and is one that God seems to place a high priority on. So the idea is that the Israelites would live differently than the other people around them, that on the seventh day of the week, they would stop from their work, they would limit their activity, that they would focus on worship and rest in order to kind of recharge and prepare for the week ahead. And so let me just read from Exodus chapter 20, where it lists the Ten Commandments, and this is what God says about the Sabbath. "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servants, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." So again, the basic idea is that the Israelites are going to take a day that's going to be set apart from the rest of the week. And if you think about the Israelites' history, you can see what a gracious gift this would be. They've come out of a history of slavery. For hundreds of years, Pharaoh treated them not as people, but as machines, able to produce anything that he wanted. And so God is, in many ways, trying to restore their humanity by establishing the Sabbath. He says, look, you are not machines. You are people. You are made for relationship with me. And one day a week, you're going to stop from your work, and you're going to take time to worship and rest and remember that I am God and you are not. And so there was something kind of countercultural about this practice, right? To say that there's a day a week that you're going to stop, that you don't need to do any work, but instead you're going to focus your attention on God. And that's true both in ancient times and in our time today. If you think about the pre-COVID world, when you ask somebody how they were doing, what would you often hear in response? People would often say, yeah, I'm doing good. I'm busy, right? Busyness has become kind of this badge of honor that we talk about how much we're working or how many activities our kids are involved in and all the different things that we have going on. And it's a way of feeling important, and it's a way of feeling like we matter because we're producing so many things. But there's something deeply unhealthy about that. That in many ways, we have actually returned to Egypt and to slavery. Because when we allow ourselves to be so busy and pulled in so many different directions, all of a sudden it's like our work and our family and all these obligations are the ones that really have ownership of us. They become Lord of our life rather than God. And so there's something really important about taking a day a week where we put those things away, or you shut your phone off and stick it in a drawer, or you say, look, I am not available the way I am the rest of the week. This day is dedicated to God and to resting in His presence. Now, again, for some of us, the idea of Sabbath and saying no to certain things feels oppressive or even legalistic. But again, I want to draw your attention back to Exodus and the rationale that God gives. He says this in verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." So when we practice Sabbath, we are following a pattern that God himself established. Some theologians believe that there's something built into the fabric of creation itself, that we were wired and made to have this rhythm of work and rest, that we're not created to just function at 100% all of the time and work 7 days a week, but that instead we need to follow God's example, that He is modeling for us how He designed the creation to run. And I think the other thing that God is doing by Himself taking a Sabbath is that He's showing us what it looks like to trust, that rather than being anxious and feeling like you always have to be doing something, God is modeling for us what it means to trust in His provision and to trust in His handiwork. God makes the world and He sets it up according to His goodwill and His law, and then He trusts that things are going to happen the way that they're supposed to happen, that even God Himself doesn't need to micromanage the way you and I might be tempted to, but that He rests out of a trust in His design and His good purposes. And so there's something kind of strange about thinking that God Himself takes a Sabbath day, but He is modeling for us how He designed us to live and what it is that He wants us to do. And so the Sabbath is a really important commandment. And if you read through the Old Testament, it's constantly being referenced. When Israel finds itself in trouble, one of the reasons that God is upset with His people is because they've neglected the Sabbath, because they continue to work and operate the marketplace and do all these things rather than drawing their attention back to Him. And so we know that for the Israelites, the Sabbath was a key practice. It was a way of establishing themselves as a unique people who'd been set apart for God's purposes. But then you get to the New Testament, and Jesus seems to be setting us free from legalism. And while He says, "I have come to fulfill the law," there are many parts of the Jewish ceremonial law and practice that we no longer observe. And so for centuries, Christians have debated how exactly we understand the Sabbath commandment in light of Jesus' coming. And there is debate about whether or not it's still binding in the same way that it was for God's people, or whether or not it's been changed or altered in some way. Paul himself says that, you know, there is no difference between any specific day of the week. Every day has been made holy, and there's no need to observe the Jewish calendar in the way that God's people once did. But my argument as a pastor and just as a human being is that that doesn't change how God wired us or designed us. And it doesn't change the fact that practicing the Sabbath can be not only really important for us mentally and spiritually, but it also models for others how God created us to live. You and I are meant to make our home in Jesus, to have a strong relationship with Him. And just like anything else, that takes time and intentionality. And so there's something I think very healthy and important about saying this one day a week is going to be different than every other day. This is a day that I'm going to intentionally draw my focus to God, and I'm going to make time to spend with Him and be with His people and allow Him to fill me and lead me and provide what I need for this coming week. There's a humility, I think, in practicing the Sabbath, believing that the world isn't actually on my shoulders, that everything does not depend on me, that if I don't respond to that phone call or return that email, if my kids aren't on a travel sports team, that the world is not going to fall apart, that if we stay home, we participate in worship, we spend some time with the Lord, we rest, we eat, we do fun things together, that we're actually going to be more productive during the week, that we're going to have more to offer and a clearer, stronger sense of God's presence in our life, rather than if we were always responding to every, you know, offer to do something and every obligation that we feel. There's something really grounding about the practice of Sabbath, remembering that God is God and you and I are not, that as important as we think we are, and as much as we think people depend on us, ultimately, it's okay for us to say no. It's okay to put things down. It's okay to rest and remember your place as a dependent creature, that you are not God, but that you are actually one who is dependent on God, and that we need to take time and space on a regular basis to be with Him. And so if the question for Christians is, why do we need to practice the Sabbath? My response would be, why wouldn't you? God clearly valued the Sabbath enough to make it one of the 10 core commandments for His people. And even though Jesus sets us free from legalism and a certain rigidity around the Sabbath and making all of these complicated rules about what you can and can't do, I think the basic spirit is still really important and valuable. That if you and I will set time aside to be with God, that our hearts will be strengthened in relationship with Him, and that's going to spill over into everything else that we're doing during the week. So with the last couple of minutes here, I want to just talk about what the practice of Sabbath might look like. And again, I recognize that this is kind of a strange time for some of us. If you're working at home or if you're retired and you're not able to do things that you've been doing, it might kind of feel right now like every day is the same or that there's no distinction between weeks and weekends. But in general, I think there are things we can do either on Sundays or if you have to work on a Sunday, on another day during the week that can help a Sabbath to feel set apart and help to deepen your relationship with God. So for one thing, Sabbath is always meant to involve worship. And again, that looks different for us right now, but it's important that a Sabbath day involves intentional time with God, hearing from Scripture, singing in whatever ways you're able to, praying in whatever ways you're able to, and if possible, connecting with God's people. So obviously, coming to church kind of checks off all of those boxes, but right now, we have to be a little bit more creative about how we can structure our time on Sundays to make it feel special and set apart. And so obviously, we're trying to produce as many resources as we can to aid you as you worship at home, but I think even just connecting with Christian friends or family members, listening to music, spending some time in nature and using that time to pray, all of these things can help us to connect with God in a meaningful way, even as we're not able to physically be in church together right now. A second thing to be thinking about is your availability. To think about who you want to be available to and, you know, what you want to do with your phone or your computer. It might be that you want to use Sunday to connect with Christian friends or family members. But I think it's important to avoid, you know, work email. I think it's important to make sure that you're present to the people who are around you. And so for you, that might mean, you know, keeping your computer off, or it might mean sticking your phone in a drawer for the afternoon, or finding some way to, you know, distance yourself from obligations and different things that would normally be a drain on your spiritual and emotional resources. And instead, to put those things away and say, how can I be really present to God and to my family or whoever it is that is life-giving and who I want to be around right now? And then one other thing to think about is how you would define work, given your lifestyle, your abilities, maybe what you do for work during the week. I think it's important to recognize that we don't all define work the same way. And something that might be difficult for some of us might actually be really enjoyable or life-giving for others. And I think this is where we ran into trouble in the past, trying to make all these really strict rules or define what you can and can't do on a Sunday. Because the truth is, different things are going to feel different to each of us, depending on our personality and our background and what you do for income during the week. So for some people, spending a lot of time outside doing yard work or exercising, that's going to feel like work, right? Maybe you have to work outside during the week, or maybe it's just not something that you particularly enjoy. But for others, you know, if you're cooped up in an office or you spend a lot of time sitting down, it might be very restful or life-giving to be able to spend some time doing something physical or being outside. And so, you know, you have to draw those boundaries in a way that's appropriate for you and your family. But I think we need to show grace to one another and understand that what might feel or be like work for you is going to be different on some levels than it is for me. Another consideration is for families with kids, or especially young kids, where no matter how intentional you are about turning off your phone or saying no to work, the fact is your day is going to feel like a lot of work. That caring for small kids, you know, changing diapers, making food, all of that stuff is always there no matter whether you call it a Sabbath day or not. And so I think this is one of the hardest parts about practicing Sabbath for us in our marriage. It's been a challenge the last 7 years or so. But one thing that we found to be helpful is to say, okay, I don't want to let the ideal get in the way of me appreciating what is good. And so I know that we can't totally unplug or totally be by ourselves and rest. But what we can do is give each other some breaks. And when we practice Sabbath, we try to be intentional about giving one another a couple of hours away from the house, or a chance to connect with friends or do something that's life-giving. And basically almost take turns saying, I'll take care of the kids. It's your turn to go get some rest or do something that you want to do. And then we'll flip later in the day. So that's not ideal. It doesn't, you know, give you a full 24 hours. But, you know, it's better than nothing. And I think there is a part of us that has to just accept the stage of life that we're in and say, yeah, when you have a two-year-old in your house, you're never really going to experience a Sabbath the way that you want to. And that's okay, because they're going to grow up and they're going to get better. And you're establishing patterns and habits for your family now that are going to carry over into the future. So ideally, a Sabbath is, you know, a complete break from work. It's a chance to connect with God in a deeper way, to worship, to experience His presence, and to rest, to do things that are life-giving and enjoyable. And the last thing that I want to point out is that as a pastor over the last few years, I've noticed that a lot of adults seem to struggle with the rest portion. Maybe they understand that, okay, I want to get to worship. I want to, you know, have a meaningful experience of God. I want my family to do that as well. But when I ask, you know, how do you rest, or what do you do for fun? What's enjoyable or life-giving to you? A lot of adults struggle, especially men, struggle to answer that, or feel like they have any hobbies or any activities that bring them a lot of joy. And so I think the Sabbath can be a great way to explore what it is that you enjoy doing, or to reconnect with a hobby or something that used to be part of your life, but has gotten lost over the years with work and family and all the different obligations that you deal with. And so in the show notes for this episode, I'm including a link to an article that's targeted towards men, but I think it's applicable for everybody. And the idea is that a Sabbath can be an opportunity for you to try some new things that are supposed to be fun, to try and figure out what is it that gives you energy, what is it that brings you joy, how can you find and connect with parts of yourselves away from your job and your responsibilities? Because for many of us in our 30s, 40s, and 50s, that's really hard to do. that part of ourselves gets lost and we lose touch with how God made us and how he created us to experience the world. So I would argue that play and hobbies, that these are actually spiritual things, that these are important ways that we not only experience joy, but also feed our own souls so that we have more to offer when we come back to our responsibilities and all the things that God is calling us to do. So those are just kind of a few initial thoughts around the Sabbath. Obviously, there's a lot more that could be said, and I've got some links to some other resources in the show notes as well. There's a couple of books that I have found to be helpful in my own thinking. And again, I want to make myself available to you. If you have thoughts or questions or pushback, I would love to talk to you more about this stuff as well. So you can connect with me. My email address is pastoraj@southgranvillechurch.org. Or you're also welcome to write something on our Facebook page and we'll get back to you in the next few days. And if you're enjoying the podcast, if it's been helpful to you, I just want to encourage you to consider sharing it on your social media or maybe with a friend or a family member that you think would benefit. The idea is that we want to just put the teachings of Jesus into as many people's hands as possible. We believe that this is the very best way to live and that Jesus is extending this invitation to relationship to all of us, regardless of where we're at right now. And so in this time when many people are re-examining their lives, asking big questions, trying to figure out what comes next, this is a great opportunity for us to be a light and a witness and help others discover the joy of the gospel and what it means to follow Christ. So that's it for me. I want to say thank you again for listening, and I hope that you are able to go in peace and practice the Sabbath as a life-giving experience of God's presence for you.